Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host on this podcast. We share information to empower your podcast. So this episode is all about Power Press, and the perfect person to have on the show is Angelo Mandato.
Hi.
So you are the CIO of Blueberry. I've been working with you for a long time, and you are the main developer of Power Press. And the reason we're doing this Power Press specific episode is because recently it had its 10-year anniversary. What day was that actually?
It was August 11th of 2008.
Okay. So we are a couple weeks late, but that's okay. So I just wanted to kind of go over what has happened in all of the releases, why we got this plugin in the first place, and some things that we're going to be thinking about in the future for it. So I was reading an article the other day from Forbes, and it was focusing on how back in 2005, Steve Jobs said that podcasting will be the next iteration of radio. And we've certainly seen that come true in the past decade or so since podcasting really started. And this isn't necessarily about Power Press, but Angelo, you started with Blueberry in 2005. So back then, could you have imagined what is happening now?
Well, we were visionaries, so we were hoping that things would get to this point. Mm-hmm. And actually, I would almost say that maybe we were too hopeful that where we're at today, we would be in 2006.
So slower than you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, we're just now finally getting podcasts built into cars.
Well, why do you think that is, though?
It's just a fact of how fast technology can move. I mean, we were talking back in 2005 about how cool it'd be to have Wi-Fi in your car, mm-hmm. but it wasn't really something that the average person could afford or figure out. Mm-hmm. And then also in 2005, it was before smartphones that we have. Mm-hmm. So the first couple years of podcasting, it was all about syncing your media from your computer to a device.
Right.
But
I would download episodes and then put them on my iPod.
Exactly. And then I had a Sansa. But it worked great. It was a real simple iPod alternative, a lot more cost-effective than an iPod back then. They were like $400, and these Sansas were like $60. Mm-hmm. Regardless, I mean, that's the stuff that helped podcasting start. We would synchronize our episodes to these devices, and literally put them in our cars, go on jogs, go to exercise, go shopping, and we were like pioneers listening to all this weird content mm-hmm. that, you know, the year before it wasn't possible.
It didn't exist.
And I remember in 2004, 2003, having XM radio and then also grabbing shows that were on, that started streaming on the internet, which that was kind of a new thing in 2003, and literally using applications to resave them as an MP3 to put them on my Sansa to then play in my car. Mm-hmm. As soon as like podcasting came out, it made that really crazy process obsolete.
So on average, we have about 80 million Americans listening to podcasts in the year, which is about 26%. So that has taken about 13 years for that to happen. In the past 3, 4, 5 years, we've seen a big growth though. Like a big jump. So do you expect that to happen anytime soon or just kind of continue on the wave that we are now?
Oh, no, I see growth continuing. Now, in the U.S., I think it's going to slow down, mm-hmm. but not as slow as I think some people might predicting.
Not like plateau, but just slow.
It's going to slow, right. So like it might take another 5 years to get to 50%. Okay. It's not going to get to, like if things stayed on the trajectory that's been, it would be by the next 2 years, it'd be 50%.
But any reason why that you think that?
Well, I think what's happening now is the people that really want this content, they have the smartphones, they're used to consuming it. Mm-hmm. So I think this next round of people that adopt it are ones that discover it and don't actually know that they could have been listening to podcasts, and then they just discover it and they get hooked. Mm-hmm. That last 50% of the folks out there, obviously some will never consume. They're either by age or demographic or what their lifestyle is. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So it's just like TV. Not everybody uses cable TV now. Mm-hmm. I think at some point, though, like in Finland, I believe it's Finland, they got rid of AM and FM radio. And now podcasts and streaming on your phones is really the only way to get radio stations.
Okay.
So I foresee that not in 5 or 10 years, but eventually we're going to be there. Okay. Just like we're going to be in cars that drive ourselves. We won't have a cab driver in it.
You might just walk. I'm not a huge fan of those. So getting back to PowerPress, I had a couple questions that I wanted to ask because it has been here much longer than I have. So why did you start, or why, like, what was the origin of PowerPress?
Well, there's a little backstory. WordPress became a real popular platform for creating just a website and a blog around 2004, 2005. So a few of us were using WordPress just for our blog. And then as podcasting became a thing, we started using these blogging platforms. Mm-hmm. Our CEO at the time was using another one called Movable Type. And WordPress was kind of behind the curve in 2005 compared to Movable Type. But WordPress opened it up by allowing plugins to be able to hook into everything you can imagine within the platform. And within, I would say by 2006, Movable Type was DOA. So no one would even touch it at that point. If you're launching a new site, you would just use WordPress. So WordPress took over that whole market pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And in the process, a plugin that came out at the time in 2006, it was actually the second podcasting plugin for WordPress. It was called PodPress. And it had a lot of great features. You could easily install it on your site, but it had problems. For example, when it first came out, it wasn't tied to a service like Blueberry. So you would put your media files on your own server. And then that's where businesses like ours came from, is folks figured out quickly they couldn't host their media files on the same website as their regular web pages because the bandwidth and the performance is just not there. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, PodPress made it real easy to just put the files on there and not think about it. By late 2006, the developer that made that plugin partnered with a company called Podango, and they then had it integrated with their service. And that was kind of the downfall of that plugin. What happened was, is at the end of 2007, only a year and a half later, Podango's funding,
venture capital.
VC funding, they pulled the plug because they never saw that that company was ever going to sell. Mm-hmm. And because that company was paying that developer to make that PodPress plugin, he then stopped working on PodPress. So it wasn't a big deal, except that's when we really launched our actual podcast hosting service to deal with people getting dropped from Podango.
Yeah.
What really got us involved was then in the early spring, there were new, more innovative versions of WordPress at the time. I believe it was like WordPress 1.4, which is crazy to think now. Yeah, we're so high in version numbers.
Much farther.
And it broke PodPress. So someone else, a different developer, went in and made a patch and figured out how we can get through. And that was okay. But then we made it to July or June of 2008. And again, another major release of WordPress. This one was 1.5, I believe. And it really broke PodPress. And at that point, we were already kind of talking, maybe we should fork it and fix the bugs and maintain it, a fork of it. And it went for about 3 weeks. No one had a patch. We figured out it had something to do with the, well, the details aren't important, but it had something to do with it maintaining a history of every page edit you made before. You know, it's hard to imagine this, but there used to be a day in WordPress where you'd edit a page and hit saved, and then you wouldn't be able to go back. There was no history. So this feature, when this was added, it broke that plugin. Mm-hmm. And so we had to deal with it. And some people had different patches. It took about 3 weeks before everybody figured out of the community. But in the process of doing that, we were doing ad deals with a lot of podcasters that used WordPress with PodPress. Mm-hmm. And it was such a big impact on just us, because about a third of our customers or our podcasters that were doing our advertising were on these sites. We had to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So we did the green light. We decided to create our own, or I should say, a fork and patch. But it ended up becoming a rewrite simply because it was so written for the first early versions of WordPress that it was going to take more effort to rewrite it as is. So we just created our own version. Fresh. Exactly. And then that opened a lot of opportunities. So we started making a model for the plugin to be expanded without features impacting other features.
So you had in mind, you know, keeping this going and whatnot. That was definitely a big part of it. You wouldn't have started fresh without that.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we thought about too, not even though it's, you can say you go into it and there's lots of options, until you enable certain options, it's not there on the website side of it. It's only there in the administrative side of it. So it's very performance oriented in that respect.
Yeah, and it is for users in that sense as well, because there's the simple mode or the advanced mode.
Exactly.
That works out well.
Which there's a little history about that. We've
what?
Added it and removed it twice.
Which one? Simple or advanced?
No, well, the option to switch between simple and advanced. Uh-huh. So I don't remember what year we added it originally, but we added a simple mode. And then through users complaining that where did all the options go, we ended up phasing it out and went back to you just see all the options.
Gotcha.
And then we re-added it again in recent years, about 4 years ago. And it's there today, but the default actually is now, I believe, to go into advanced mode first.
Gotcha.
After you've set up the initial setup mode or simple mode.
It's a very effective plugin. It's a tad intimidating when you first get into it, though, with all of those options.
Right. So that's why we basically give you 12 options. You set it up. We tell you you're good to go. And then we say, all right, now you can do more if you want.
Mm-hmm. It is currently on version 7.3 and has over 60,000 active installs. So that's pretty impressive.
It is. And that's just the data on WordPress.com.
Yeah.
Or org, I should say.
Yeah, we're definitely org.
Yeah. We actually have more than that are using the plugin. And I noticed the way they do their statistics, I think they base it solely on where they see downloads. So when they see a download come into their system, they count that as a possible install.
Okay.
For example, we have our PowerPress site service.
Yeah.
We only download our plugin once, and then we install it on our couple thousand of sites that we're managing. So they're not
that
getting
doesn't
that
seem data. Very effective on their end. That seems like a mistake.
Right. So we use some other logic and some other third-party websites to kind of see how big our footprint is. And it's actually more around 75,000 to 80,000.
Right. Right. Well, that's even better. So along the way, we've definitely had some help in our own team and from some outsiders. I know specifically Daniel J. Lewis has been quite insightful.
Right.
So is there anyone else who's kind of had a big impact on the plugin?
Oh, boy, I can't think of there's been so many users that have contributed.
Yeah.
Probably the best thing, if you're really interested to know who's contributed, check out our README of the changelog. And even the complete changelog is not there. You'll get passed through everything through version 6. Then if you want to go back before version 6, there's a link that goes to our website. And then we show the rest of the history all the way back to August
11th
of 2008.
That's a lot.
And we always attribute, when someone suggests something, we always attribute their name.
I've definitely seen people in there before. That's actually why I thought of it. So what is your favorite thing specifically about PowerPress as the main developer? Like, what is something that you're incredibly proud of in the plugin?
Well, there's a few. Probably this is more techie. the feature where you can put a media URL in the field where you're about to publish your episode, and then you hit the verify button.
Mm-hmm. When you're uploading.
Exactly. So whether you use our service for hosting or you use some other third party, when you hit that verify button, what happens is we download only the first portion of the file, and then we use that information to calculate the file size and the duration and other meta information from it. What made that special was, again, trying to solve problems that were in that previous plugin that we replaced, PodPress. What PodPress would do is download the entire media file. So you can imagine sitting there.
It took a while.
It's worse.
Especially with old bandwidth and internet speeds and whatnot.
It was way worse in 2005, but it still makes a difference today. So, you know, you get a 30 meg file and the server has to download the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Then scan the file and then send back a response back to your browser window. So PodPress would sometimes take a minute and a half, 2 minutes to tell you what your duration and file size were. I was just using my knowledge from college and past experience that you only needed to download the first part of the file, which is where the ID3 tags are stored, mm-hmm. to be able to read this information and know everything about the rest of the file. It really made a process that was cumbersome into a really quick, simple button that everybody takes advantage of all the way up to today.
Yeah. I don't know what it's doing. I know it's verifying how long the episode is, but I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, and so there's a lot of things that PowerPress takes care of that people never have to find out that they needed to do it.
Yeah, there's stuff in there that it does that I don't know why it does it, and I don't particularly care. I'm just grateful that it does it.
Yeah. And actually, so funny, the duration is very important. If you put a duration of zero, for example, mm-hmm. and then your podcast was on iTunes, iTunes will not make it available.
That makes sense.
So really critical feature you wouldn't think about. Yep. It's built in, takes care of it every time.
Yep, definitely. So it's always nice to talk about, you know, what we've done in the past, but what is something that you see happening for the future of the podcast, or not the podcast, but the plugin?
Oh boy, there's stuff we're not allowed to talk about until we're close to release.
Obviously.
But the stuff that Google Podcasts have and Google Search has come out with is great. Mm-hmm. I know, and actually you mentioned Daniel Lewis. So Daniel Lewis helped us a lot with the SEO portion, which is one of the innovative things we've added over the years to PowerPress. Mm-hmm. We're envisioning more changes to really help you with Google Search and still complement what you can do in iTunes. Or I'm sorry, Apple. Podcast Search.
Yeah.
So
you've been doing this for 10 years. What do you see happening to PowerPress in the next 5 years?
Well, in 5 years, it's probably going to have a UI improvement. We've been talking about that for about 2 years, redoing the UI. Mm-hmm. And every time we get close to having something decided on, there's another new, more innovative way to deal with it.
Yeah, none of us can all come to a conclusion because we'll see something else and then it's like, well, then this factors into everything else and then we start over.
Right. So, and actually with very soon, WordPress is going to release a new version which has a new editor for editing pages, mm-hmm. and posts. When that's released, we will have a quick release of basically a 7.4, which specifically styles our episode boxes for that new interface.
Okay.
But I just helped a customer this morning who's using a beta version of it, and it looked fine, he said, except it looks like it could be better. So if you're testing out the newest version of WordPress in a beta version, you'll still be able to use PowerPress. There's no mechanical issues. It's just that we know once that's released, we're going to be having a new styling changes to put into those episode boxes just so it looks a lot more pretty.
A new basis.
And a new thing. And that's really part of our struggle, right? We're not just trying to keep the interface for our plugin up to date, mm-hmm. but we're also following the changes that happen as WordPress itself evolves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you know how much of the internet is WordPress at this point? It's an obscene number or percentage.
Right. It's 28% now.
Yeah.
And to give you an idea, there was a huge, and this is kind of like podcasting. They got to 25%, I think, 3 years ago.
A couple of years ago, yeah.
And that was really fast acceleration. It's now slowing down, but mm-hmm. they're still growing. Mm-hmm. So probably a year and a half from now, they'll get to 28, 29%. And it'll keep growing. But there's definitely a wall that's going to hit because some companies, it's just not an option to use WordPress. You have to develop something specific.
Yeah, with the very, very large companies, it's kind of understandable. Why not? We've seen a lot happen in the past 10 years in the podcasting space in general. So where do you see, like, what do you think is going to be the big thing 10 years from now, as opposed to easily getting out a podcast and this surge that we've seen in the past couple of years of people starting? Like, do you think there's going to be something standing out like that years from now?
There's two things that come to mind. One I think is not going to happen, which everybody keeps trying to predict. Mm-hmm. And then the other one I think is going to happen and people aren't thinking about. The one that you hear all the time is putting chapters and tags and special meta information in your audio episodes. Okay. So this has been something that's been available since 2005. In M4A files, the the Apple preferred format at the time. Yeah. And also there's ways to doing these tags today. At least this last iteration of what they're doing, the tags are meant to allow you to go to a certain part of the episode mm-hmm. quickly. Mm-hmm. So in the past, the tags have been something that would happen interactively while you were playing. So
well, like what happened?
Well, like at 5 minutes, you would say, display this link, or 10 minutes in, show this image, change the image over. So it just never caught on.
No. And, I don't think I ever really listened to a podcast that did that.
And looked at it.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean, that worked when you would download it, and I was listening to it on my iPod, and then it would show me a picture.
Yeah. Well, no, this was all based on different players.
Yeah. See, that's part of it where I'm like, I listened to it one way that entire time. I never listened to a podcast on the website ever until like 3 years ago when I kind of realized that was a thing.
To actually look at it while you were listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And still no one does.
No.
When you do a study or you do a survey, most people are doing it in a way where they don't have to look at it.
Yeah, that's why I'm listening to it.
Yeah, because guess what? If you're able to look at it, you don't want audio, you want video.
Yeah, like if I had time to look at something, I'd be watching a video, not listening to it.
So, I mean, we're not trying to pigeonhole that our industry has got a handicap or anything, but this is like a fact of life. It's audio, it's not video.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, on that token, you can do a video podcast, and that's something that has not taken off, which wasn't the idea.
Yeah, yeah, no. What got us started on this weird tangent of tags and whatnot is that you think, like, that, okay, this ability has been around since 2005, so keep going.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever really catch on.
Okay.
I think this latest version is cool that there's some bookmarks to get you further in. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people that have done it, and then they'll do a survey and find out no one uses it.
Right.
Because when it really comes down to people want the convenience of putting whatever you're providing in their player, hitting play, and walking away with it in their ears.
Yeah.
Or in their car.
Anytime I listen to a podcast at home, it's on my Bluetooth speaker, and I'm walking around my house, basically.
Right.
So.
Now, the car, that's my segue to what I think is going to be a big thing, as Apple CarPlay and Android Auto become more popular, I think that's the next frontier. There's going to be a lot of listening to podcasts instead of radio stations, or listening to podcasts rather than figuring out a streaming station, and it streams something that you don't want at that instance of time.
You're picking what you want to listen to in your car on another level, because people have been doing that for years with
video. The DVR.
No, I mean, like, even in their cars, a lot of people don't listen to the radio. At least my age, we don't listen to the radio. We've been hooking up our phones since we could drive.
Oh, trust me. Yeah, same.
So
in my generation, in the 80s and 90s, we had tapes, cassette tapes. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as CDs came out, we're like, get rid of these.
Yeah.
But we would literally put CDs in our car and listen to specific stuff. But as they make podcasts easier to consume in cars, that's going to be the thing. I think also in other transportation modes too. Let's take Southwest, for example. Mm-hmm. That's another great place where Southwest could, you know, they provide the TV, but imagine if you could get some podcasts on there with the headphones too. I mean, that'd be sweet.
I can't remember what airline it was, but Tim, he was on an episode, was talking about how coming back from Podcast Movement, his flight had podcasts available on it.
Oh, well, there you go. They already did it. I just predicted it, and it already happened.
It's just got to happen on a much, much larger scale.
Right.
Because these things are happening in small portions, and they're noticeable to some people, but they're not noticeable necessarily to the public in general yet. Like, my parents both have new cars, and I was like, have you listened to a podcast on them? And they're like, no. I don't know how, and I'm like, it's literally right there in front of your face, and you still don't know how. Well, I mean, keep in mind, they're both, like, over 65, but still.
Well, actually, I have a reason for that. So we just did traveling, my wife and I, to Florida, and we had a rental car, and it had so much tech. It had the steer assist. You could hit a button, and it would help you stay in the lane, all this other stuff. It got to the point where I'm like, there's too many buttons.
Yeah.
I mean, I totally get why Tesla came out with something where there's not even a turn signal. You have to move your hand to make it do it, because it's getting too complicated.
Yeah. So there's too much.
Yeah.
Okay, if we're talking about the importance of cars for podcasting, then in the future, how do you think a plugin like PowerPress, where it's important to get things out on a website, like, do you think that's going to forever withstand podcasting? Do you think websites are going to be an important part of podcasting forever, or will they fizzle out at some point?
Well, there's definitely a fork. And we saw it even in the beginning. You could easily go to a service that just provides you a feed,
yeah,
and you don't worry about the website presence. Or you can go the route that we recommend, and that's having a whole ecosystem coming from your own .com or your .dot whatever. That way the traffic goes out and in. And mm-hmm. what I mean is you can syndicate out, and then people discover your shows on syndication platforms like Apple Podcasts. I didn't say iTunes. Then they click the links to back to your website. Well, that's feeding back in. And then the opposite is when you create content for the web, web search engines crawl your site, and then Google search, for example, will display your podcast. When people click the search results and end up back on your site, mm-hmm. then you're feeding that traffic back in as well. So when you use another service where they make it real easy to put a feed together, show notes, and you just post, you're missing the opportunity of having that traffic then go back to your website. It's now going to their service.
The only reason that I think about that is because you don't really see a lot of traffic going to specific websites anymore. You see people all on the same websites over and over and over again, and people are posting content on those sites, and they don't necessarily have one of their own. So that's why I'm thinking, where will podcasting be in the future? Because less often I'm going to someone's website and I'm finding their content available in other places.
Right. Well, yeah, right. And that's the beauty of what podcasting was originally for, right? Mm-hmm. You put your feed out there with information you want that you're okay with being re-syndicated everywhere else in the web. Mm-hmm. That way people can discover you and subscribe to you in whatever platform they want.
Yeah.
But I think the mistake, and it's not a mistake for everybody, but the mistake is to assume that you can start out from one place and that manage it for you rather than you managing it directly. So, for example, if you're an amateur, you're doing a podcast on your local high school football team, mm-hmm. then maybe you don't need your own website. Get a real simple solution. You're good to go. You don't want to spend money on it anyway. But if you're really looking at trying to be serious about it, you want ecosystem that both feeds out and feeds in, and you also want the intellectual property all to reside from your own .com, mm-hmm. then, I mean, that's where our solution fits in.
Yeah. That's where the importance of having your podcast available to everyone but be your own comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes up next with PowerPress. I like to see what changes actually happen and if I've noticed them and if I don't notice them.
Yeah.
Because that definitely happens.
Well, you know, we've done a lot of innovative features that, you know, I wonder if people have noticed them.
What are some of the ones that you think people might not have noticed?
Well, we added options for SEO, for specifically podcasting SEO. Mm-hmm. And what that does with a couple checkboxes and clicking save, it allows you to optimize different fields that people use when they search iTunes to find your content.
So where is that?
So in PowerPress, when you're looking at the left submenu, there's a option called SEO. So mm-hmm. you just click into that menu, and then there's just a few quick options that you can enable or disable, and then click save, and then you're good to go.
Gotcha.
And probably the most important thing it does is kind of highlight the fields that are really important that you need to fill out at the time you create your episodes. Mm-hmm. So we're literally not doing the SEO for you. We're just providing the tools. Another one is the subscribe tools mm-hmm. that we provide. And actually, I did an audit to see in our statistics if people that had links to our service subscribe on Android had an uptick on Android listens. Mm-hmm. And they did. It was significant. But in the process of doing that, I found that 9 out of 10 people that use our plugin have been setting up the subscribe widgets, which mm-hmm. is great. And really, that gives you a cutting edge over a lot of other services that don't like to provide links that go off of their websites. Mm-hmm. So SoundCloud, for example, sorry to make them into a punching bag, but they don't provide a way to subscribe to your podcast on iTunes when you go to your page on SoundCloud, because the last thing SoundCloud wants is for you to go away from the website.
Yeah, that's true. Whenever the artist is done, they just start playing something else. That's what happened to me this morning.
Yeah, and usually it's not even a common podcast.
It was, yeah. That's a pretty good wrap-up of PowerPress, I'd say, at least the plugin.
Yeah.
So, everyone, thank you for listening. Angelo, thank you for being on. And if you have any stories or issues or anything like that you have going on with PowerPress, please let us know. All right, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.